Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Nurse of Death, the Lucy Letby story. Lucy Letby is accused of murdering 7 babies and the attempted murder of 10 more babies at the Countess of Chester Hospital, NICU. In our first episode, we detailed the allegations against Nurse Lucy Letby, the demise of baby A and the rapid decline of baby B, who was spared from death within minutes due to the fast action of one of Lucy's colleagues. We now move on to babies C through F. On June 10, 2015, a premature baby boy weighing about 800 grams, 1.8 pounds, was delivered at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Lucy Letby is accused of killing him just a few days later. Baby C is the second of the 7 babies she's alleged to have killed at the hospital's neonatal unit. When Letby worked the night shift on June 13th, she was responsible for watching over another baby boy located in a different room than Baby C. Despite this, they claim that Letby was there in the intensive care room about the time that Baby C suffered a rapid collapse at 11:15 p.m. Despite the fact that she had no apparent reason to be there, it was rumored that she had murdered him by inserting air into his stomach via a nasogastric tube. Upon his collapse, medical professionals were unable to revive him, and a token resuscitation was performed on him until a vicar from the Church of England, who was going to baptize the boy, and a priest from the Catholic Church who was going to bless him, arrived. However, indications of life began to return as the parents embraced their son while they waited for the ministers to arrive. During this time, the doctors detected occasional gasps of air and feeble heartbeats.
An on-call consultant was unable to provide an explanation for the fairly minimal signs of life that were being displayed by Baby C. However, the consultant did inform the child's parents that the likelihood of their son recovering was remote, and the possibility of him avoiding severe brain damage was extremely remote. The court was informed that palliative care was administered and that approximately 5 hours after the baptism, there were no additional gasps or heartbeats audible. At 5:58 in the morning on June 14th, Baby C was pronounced dead. During an interview on Baby C, Lucy Letby stated that she found the death of the boy to be very hard because he lived several hours after the collapse and that she had never seen that before. The nursing shift supervisor in charge that night, who cannot be identified for legal reasons, stated before the court that she had delegated the responsibility of delivering a memory box containing handprints and footprints to the parents of Baby C to another nurse who was on duty at the time. Melanie Taylor was that nurse.
The witness said, "I asked Lucy to focus on her designated baby because I was still concerned about him. However, Lucy went into the family room a few times and I asked her to come out and leave that family with Melanie Taylor." Simon Driver, a prosecutor, asked, "Was it any part of her responsibilities for her to go into that family room at this time?" The witness replied, "Not that I can remember." The prosecutor continued on, "You instructed her to return her attention to her designated baby once or more than once?" The witness said, "More than once." The witness testified before the judge that she did not have any worries regarding Baby C at the beginning of her shift, and that his clinical observations were stable. Ben Myers, KC, the attorney for the defense, stated in his opening speech that Child C was vulnerable, particularly to infection, and that he should have been at a children's hospital that specializes in treating children. He asked the witness, Do you believe he, Baby C, was a baby in a potentially fragile condition? Yes, said the witness. Myers said, do you agree, given his size and prematurity and his conditions, there was a risk that he could die? Yes, the witness replied.
Jurors have previously seen messages sent by Letby to coworkers during that night shift in which she said, being in room 3 was, quote, eating me up. She added that she felt she wanted to return to room 1 where a baby boy, her alleged first victim, had died to, quote, get the image out of my head, unquote. Letby strongly refutes allegations that she gave Baby C air or had anything to do with his death. In court, she admitted that she searched Facebook for his parents approximately 10 hours after the death of their baby, but she could not recall why she did it or what she was looking for on the social media site.
In June of 2015, it's alleged that nurse Lucy Letby injected air into the bloodstream of another child, known only as Baby D, at the Countess of Chester Hospital. The prosecution claims that Baby D was the third baby to be allegedly murdered by the nurse within a period of 2 weeks. The mother of Baby D recalled seeing Miss Letby in the neonatal unit in the hours leading up to her daughter's death. She testified as follows before the Manchester Crown Court, quote, I was pushed into the neonatal unit, and she was sort of hovering around my baby, not doing much. She had a clipboard to take notes, and she sort of was looking at a machine, but I didn't understand what she was doing. I asked if everything was okay, and she said, yes, she's fine. I would have expected her to leave us, but she just stuck around and was sort of just watching, looking over us. I wanted to tell her to go away to give us some privacy, unquote. The mother of Baby D told the court that after her water had broken prematurely, she'd been waiting for treatment at the hospital for more than 50 hours. According to the testimony presented to the jury, the mother was discharged from the hospital but returned to the facility 24 hours later because she didn't feel right.
After waiting for 50 hours, the medical staff ultimately decided to deliver Baby D via cesarean section. When she was shown her daughter in the delivery room, she recalled that moment and said she seemed very lifeless. She didn't scream, there was no sound, and everything in the room was quiet. The mother finally got the opportunity to hold her daughter for the first time after being moved to a ward where she was being treated. She said, when I was holding her skin to skin, she didn't have much movement. She was quite limp. She didn't have good color, and it appeared as though she was having trouble breathing. I attempted to breastfeed her, but she remained completely limp the entire time, so yes, I was quite concerned. The doctor assured me that there was no need for me to be concerned, that she was doing fine, and that the reason for her condition was because she was delivered via C-section. The baby showed an initial positive response to treatment, but later deteriorated and experienced 3 separate collapses. The mother testified in court that a nurse was in a panic and woke her up in the early hours of the morning and told her something was wrong. She was accompanied by Baby D's father when they arrived at the intensive care unit, where the medical staff was frantically attempting to revive the infant. In a statement, Child D's father said, I was never given the impression that her condition was life-threatening, and it didn't even cross my mind that she was in danger of dying.
Later on, during the trial at Manchester Crown Court, the jurors were presented with a series of text messages that were exchanged between Miss Letby and her colleagues in the hours following the passing of Baby D. One message sent by Miss Letby at 8:36 a.m. said, we had such a rubbish night. Our job is just far too sad sometimes. The colleague replied, no, what happened? Miss Letby replied, we lost Baby D. The colleague replied, what? But she was improving. What happened? Want to chat? I can't believe you were on again. You were having such a tough time. Miss Letby then referred to Baby D being messed about a couple times and referred to a rash that looked like overwhelming sepsis. She said it had been a shock, adding she feels a bit numb this time. In the messages, Miss Letby said her job had so many positives, but sometimes she wondered, how do such sick babies get through when others just die so unexpectedly? Her colleague responded by saying, you go to bed. You're an excellent nurse, Lucy. don't forget it.
In July 2015, baby E, a twin boy, was born prematurely. The infant weighed 1.3 kilograms, just under 3 pounds, at birth. His mother recalls walking into the neonatal unit with milk for her babies when she encountered Nurse Letby, allegedly in the act of attacking her newborn. At the time, she didn't realize that was what was happening. Baby E was described as being in extreme distress and was bleeding profusely from his mouth. Letby is said to have attempted to reassure the boy's mother by telling her that the blood was caused by a nasogastric tube irritating her son's throat. She is also said to have added, "Trust me, I'm a nurse." Nick Johnson, KC, a prosecuting attorney, told the jury the mother interrupted Lucy Letby, who was in the process of attacking baby E. Baby E was pronounced dead less than 5 hours after Letby had been seen with him. The baby had lost more than 25% of his total blood volume, according to a testimony given in court by a doctor who said he had never seen a baby bleed like this. No postmortem was performed, and baby E's death was initially attributed to a gastrointestinal disorder that can affect premature babies. Prosecutor Johnson called this a major error.
The jury was informed that experts later came to the conclusion that baby E's death was caused by gas purposefully introduced into his circulation and bleeding indicative of trauma. The court heard that Letby showed an extraordinary interest in the twins' family by looking for them on social media 2 days after baby E passed away and numerous times in the months that followed, including on Christmas Day 2015. When baby E collapsed, the nurse allegedly wiped out the mother's visit from the medical records and then lied about being elsewhere. The prosecution claimed that Letby was attempting to establish an alibi in someone else's medical records.
Jurors were informed that Letby next developed a sinister interest in baby F, who is baby E's six-day-old twin brother. Less than 24 hours after his sibling's passing, the nurse allegedly gave baby F a feeding bag loaded with insulin. When asked afterward in a police interview why she looked up the boy's parents on Facebook, Letby replied that she may have done so to see how baby F was doing. The jury was informed that Letby was the only constant presence on the neonatal ward in June 2015, when three infants died and one experienced a life-threatening collapse in the span of 2 weeks. Lucy Letby faces 22 charges for allegedly killing five infant boys and two infant girls, as well as the attempted murder of 10 others at Countess of Chester Hospital in 2015 and 2016. The trial continues on.